through Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday in Advent is from Matthew chapter 11. We'll read it once more. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and tell and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of our Lord. How does that happen? How does John doubt Jesus? Because that's exactly what just happened in that reading, right? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? John sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he really was who he said he is, if he really is the Messiah and the Savior. How does that happen? Think of all the advantages John the Baptist had. This was Jesus' cousin. He grew up with him. And not only was he Jesus' cousin, but he prepared the way for Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, John poured the water over his head. That's what's pictured on our baptismal font over here. And when that happened, John heard from God who Jesus was. "This is my son, whom I love." And more than that, John didn't just hear it, he spoke it. John pointed at Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was convinced of who Jesus was. And more than that, John was Jesus's public preacher who was supposed to prepare the way. That's what Jesus said when he quoted Malachi. "This is the one who is going to go before me." Remember, John would go out and preach about the day of Jesus is near. The axe is already at the root of the tree. He's going to chop down all who are self-righteous. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. John saw Jesus. John heard about Jesus. John proclaimed about Jesus' forgiveness and Jesus' justice. So how does this happen? How does John the Baptist, of all people, doubt Jesus? Well, for starters, he was in prison. Right? That's what it says. When John, who was in prison, that's when he sent his disciples. He was preaching for Jesus, John the Baptist was. He was preaching about repentance and sin and how we got to clean out our hearts before the coming of Jesus. And the king in particular did not like that message. So he threw John in prison to await the day of his beheading. That's the kind of thing that'll make a man stop and say, "Am I right about this Jesus thing? Because I want to be sure that I'm right if I'm going to lose my head for it." But more than that, it wasn't just that he was in prison. When John, who was in prison, heard what the Messiah was doing, he sent his disciples. John doubted Jesus because he heard what Jesus was doing. Jesus was healing people. Jesus was helping people. Jesus was preaching the good news. Jesus was doing all the wonderful things that we read in Isaiah. And John thought of all the things Jesus wasn't doing. "Jesus, where's the winnowing fork and the fire that's going to burn up all the people who hate me? Jesus, where is the axe that you're going to swing and take down our enemies? Jesus, I could use a little justice right about now. And I've been telling everybody that you're going to come and bring the axe and bring the fire. Unless I was wrong about that. And John started to doubt what Jesus said, that he was who he said he was. Now, John wasn't wrong about the prophecies that he gave about Jesus. It's Jesus is gonna bring justice, and Jesus is going to bring perfect safety for his people, John included. It's just that John didn't get to see that. And what John saw, it didn't match what he was expecting based on God's word. And so he doubted. Have you ever had that experience where what you see doesn't match what you expect, and so it causes you to doubt? Maybe you've had that experience in the garden. You take a packet of seeds that looks like that. It says tomato on the top. So you're expecting a tomato. And it's got a tomato, a big red juicy tomato on the picture. So you're expecting a tomato. Then you go to the garden, dig a little hole, cover it with dirt, water it, let the sun beat on it. The next morning, no tomato. That's kind of funny because you know how plants work, right? You know that you got to let it sit. And if you give it water and sunlight, and God will do his little natural miracle, and you'll get a little green plant and then eventually leaves, but still no tomato, right? And you can imagine how that appears to maybe a young child who sees the picture and sees the tomato and then is expecting that to come, and all we got is a green thing, and then all we got is leaves and no tomato, and they could maybe think the package was wrong. And we're not ever going to get this thing. It's funny when it happens with a garden and a tomato. It's not funny when it happens with Jesus. You've heard him make this promise: never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. But you've had some lonely days, maybe. And you can't see Jesus next to you, with you, keeping you company. And in a dark moment, you might start to wonder, I say this thing at church and I read that in my Bible, but is it really true in my life? Looks like Jesus' promise is broken. You've heard him say, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. But so many of you have stood right next to a casket, and it looks like Jesus' promise is broken. And in the middle of mourning, you might say, I've said this and I've heard this proclaimed in church, but is it really true? You've heard Jesus say through his Old Testament prophet, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope, plans to give you a future. But when life is out of control, it looks like that promise is broken. And when you don't know what's going to come next, in a dark moment, you might say, I say that, and I've heard that, and I read it on a card, but is it true? When we don't see what we expect based on God's word, it can cause us to doubt. And so it turns out that we doubt God's word for the exact same reasons that John doubted God's word. And that's why John can teach us what to do about doubt. Imagine if John would have taken his question mark about Jesus, his doubts, and he would have just thought about it really hard, tried to reason it, and said, as long as it makes sense to me, then I'll acknowledge that Jesus is who he says he was. That would not have worked out well, because some parts of Jesus don't make great sense to our minds. Imagine if John would have said, I have these questions about Jesus, so I'm going to search my innermost feelings, and as long as it feels good, then I know Jesus is real. That would not have worked out, because in a prison cell, when you're about to be executed, it doesn't feel good. Imagine if John would have taken a popular opinion poll to answer his doubts. What do the movers and shakers in Israel say about Jesus? It would not have worked out well. That's because our minds and our hearts and the popular opinions about Jesus in the world, they are not good answers for our doubts about Jesus. And if John would have trusted his head or his heart or the people around him, he would have become an enemy of Jesus. He would be burning in hell right now. But he didn't do that. And don't you either take your doubts about Jesus from your dark moments. Don't you take them to your journal where you can spill your soul. That's a great tool for some things, but it won't answer your doubts about Jesus. And don't take it to your education to see if it all makes sense according to what you learned, because that will not answer your questions and your doubts about Jesus. And don't take a popular opinion and read the headlines to see what other people think about Jesus, because they'll never tell you that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No, John didn't do that. He teaches us the right thing to do about doubt. So he took his doubts about Jesus to Jesus. He took his doubts to Jesus, and Jesus gave John his Advent antidote to doubt. Here's what Jesus said. He starts saying all the things that he is doing. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." You see what Jesus is saying? All of those things that Isaiah predicted in our first lesson for today, those are happening, John. Look at all of the things I'm doing to establish my reign over sickness in this world, to establish my reign over sadness in this world, to establish my conquering of death forever. John, you're thinking about all the things that I haven't done yet, but look at all the things I am doing. Remember what I'm doing, John. That's my Advent antidote to doubt. Because John never did see perfect justice. And John never did see Jesus' winnowing fork and burning up the enemies. But John, don't forget what you did see. Go and tell John what you hear and see. And because John knew Jesus, that knowledge scattered his doubts like a floodlight scatters the darkness. And that knowledge of Jesus is why Jesus called John great. In fact, Jesus called John the greatest prophet since there's been prophets. There's never risen anyone better than John. Why? Because he knew Jesus. So let's just imagine this for a second. Let's just imagine that somebody with a heart heavy with guilt, who's done some gross sin and it needs to be forgiven and they're looking for comfort, they bring that to a different great prophet. Let's say Moses. Great prophet from God's Old Testament. They bring their guilt to Moses. What's he going to say? The Lord loves you. He has taken away your sin, and you are not going to die. And to remind you that you don't have to die for your sin, let's kill a lamb on God's altar. That's great comfort. That's great comfort. But there's greater comfort than that. Imagine a person with a heavy heart full of guilt and full of sadness comes to John the Baptist. And he will preach the same forgiveness that Moses preached, right? He will say, God has taken away your sin and you aren't going to have to die for it. But he could say more. He could say, I know the Lamb of God. I know his name. He's my cousin. His name is Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John knew more about Jesus than any other prophet. And so here's what Jesus said about him. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Not because he was stronger, not because he was smarter, not because he was from the Old Testament, because he knew about Jesus. Remember what Jesus said next? Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Even the least among us, the littlest three-year-olds in our company today, are greater than the greatest prophet who ever lived. Why? Well, let's imagine someone brings their guilt and their heavy heart to you, and you need to comfort them. What could you say? You could preach to them the forgiveness that Moses knew. And you could point to Jesus, just like John the Baptist, and say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But think of all the things you know about Jesus that John the Baptist never knew. You could tell a hurting soul that Jesus lived a perfect life the entire time and never failed, something that John didn't get to see. You could tell that hurting soul that Jesus died on the cross to take away all your sins, something John never got to see. You could describe what happened on that cross as God abandoned Jesus, and Jesus cried out, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And you could tell a hurting soul why God turned his back on Jesus so that he would never, ever have to go a day in eternity without you. Think of all the things that even the littlest among us know about Jesus. How he baptizes us and takes away our sins, how he comes to us in the Lord's Supper, gives us his very body and his very blood to assure us that there is no doubt he has forgiven your sins because he loves you. And that's why even the least among us are greater than the greatest prophet who ever lived. Not because we're stronger, not because we're from the right time period, and not because we have such a strong faith, but because we know about Jesus. Advent is the time when we get to review all we know about Jesus and all we know that he came to do, all we know that he did for us in his earthly life, and that is Jesus' Advent antidote for doubt, remembering what we know about Jesus. But Advent is also the time when we look ahead at what Jesus is going to do. When he came as a baby in a manger, that was a wonderful gospel comfort, but he is coming again. Not as a baby, but in glory with clouds and trumpets and angels, and he is coming to judge the living and the dead. And when he does, he will give John the perfect justice he was expecting. And when Jesus comes, he will be with you in the way that you were expecting. You will see him not with your faith, but with your eyes, and he will be with you always. When Jesus comes again, he will keep every promise. Just like at the end of the growing season in your garden, you finally get the big red tomato you were expecting. At the end of Jesus' kingdom, at the end of this world, Jesus will come again and give us exactly what we're expecting. We doubt, just like John doubted, when we don't get what we were expecting based on God's word. But his Advent antidote to that doubt is to point us to all that he is doing and remind us of all that he will do. I think that's why Father Alfred Delp loved Advent. This is what Father Alfred Delp, he was a Jesuit priest, here's what he wrote in his journal. Never have I entered upon Advent so vitally and intensely alert as I am now. As I pace my cell up and down, three paces one way, three the other, an unknown fate in front of me. The tidings of our Lord's coming to redeem the world and deliver it have quite a different ring and much more vivid meaning. The Advent he was talking about was the Advent of 1944, and the cell that he was pacing back and forth was a Nazi prison cell. Alfred wrote, "My mind keeps going back to the angel figurine that someone gave me as a present at Advent 2 years ago. It had this inscription, 'Be of good cheer. The Lord is near.' A bomb destroyed it. The same bomb that destroyed the giver of the gift." If Alfred Delp looked around at his situation in prison and what was going on in the world around him, he would have every reason to doubt. And I'm sure at times he did. But Alfred Delp was great in the kingdom of God, not because he was a priest, not because he never doubted, not because he was a prisoner of war. He was great because of what he knew about Jesus, that Christ is near, and that he will keep all his promises. He's kept them all so far. When doubt creeps into your heart, remember Jesus' Advent antidote to doubt. Doubts will come, and when they do, remember all that Jesus has done. Let there be no doubt that he loves you. Let there be no doubt that he has washed away every one of your sins. Let there be no doubt that he's coming soon to take you to heaven. That's Jesus' Advent antidote to doubt. Amen.